Let's have a word of prayer before I start. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We ask that you would anoint my lips, that I would be hidden behind the cross, that people would not see me, but they would see your word and what your word has to say to each and every one of them that are here this morning, Lord. I pray that they would go home a different way, that they would be challenged by what is said, challenged by your word. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings, and we ask that you would be with us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of my sermon today is, Why Am I Here and Where Am I Going? We've seen there in Ephesians 6, 5 through 7, that we are to walk, we've seen that we are to serve Christ and not to serve man in our lives. The sermon here this morning that I have is to challenge you to do that very thing. The title of the sermon is a question, and it's one that I think we've all done. We've all walked into a room at some time in our life and walked in there and thought, why am I in this room? What did I come in here to get? I think we've all been down that road, haven't we? We walk in, and then a lot of times we even have to turn around and walk back to where we were, and then we still stand there and scratch our head and think, what was it that I went to get? So then we start doing, and it finally we are reminded of what we needed, and we go and get it. Or other times, we might just be headed somewhere, and all of a sudden we even forget, where am I going? Where was I headed at this time? Maybe it's in the house or outside or whatever. And you know, a lot of times we joke about it and we call these senior moments, because as we get older, we have more and more of these moments, but we all have them. We might not want to admit that we have them, but we all have them. We joke about it, and as far as senior moments, but you know what? Many of us go through life in the same way. We have that same question, why am I here and where am I going? We might not ask the question out loud, or we might not ask it in our prayers, but the fact is that the way that we live our life is a great example that we have that question not answered. So what do I mean by that? What do I mean by many of us are living our lives and we haven't answered the question of why am I here and where am I going? Well, to be very blunt with you, we were not created just for play or for school or to go to work or to be able to work so many years so we can retire to our easy chair and prop up our feet. That is not our purpose of being here. Many of us get so focused on just Monday morning getting up and going to work that we forget that there's a much greater purpose that we're here for. And we start to go through life and we just go through Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings and Wednesday mornings and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, and we forget that God has a purpose behind each and every one of those days for each and every one of us. We start to think that our purpose is to get to retirement. We put that as one of our big goals, that someday I just don't have to get up on Monday morning and go and work to make a living, that I'll have enough money saved up that I can now stay at home. But that's not our purpose. If all our goal is to make enough money to be able to sit at home and do nothing, we're really missing out on what God has to offer for each and every one of us. Now, I am just as guilty. I look forward to the day that I don't have to get up and work long hours. I'd only be a fool to say that I just love it, but I do like it. I do like what I do. I look forward to my days of work. I'm glad that God has blessed me with ability, But he's also called me to do much more than just turn wrenches. Your purpose is much more great than all of that. But it really takes us to walk by faith to be able to find out what that purpose really is. So let's look at some of the people from the Bible that struggled to answer this exact same question. I have four people that we're going to look at, three of them that really struggled with this question of why am I here and where am I going? The first one I want to look at is Moses. You can look at the first couple of chapters of Exodus. It was amazing. It was a miracle that he was even still alive. He was supposed to be dead. He was supposed to be killed as a young Hebrew son, a male. He was supposed to be killed. It was a miracle that he was alive. His mom tried hiding him for a while and eventually put him out in a basket to be found by Pharaoh's daughter and to be adopted. But as he gets older, he's raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He has all the blessings and the riches of being Pharaoh's daughter or Pharaoh's grandson, the daughter's adopted son. But then all of a sudden, as he gets older, he decides to take things into his own hands, just as Roger had shared a couple of weeks ago. And I thought at that time, boy, what a time it would have been to come right after that and finish up with that. But he took things into his own hands. And after he did that, he had to flee and run away. And I wonder if while he was out in the fields taking care of his father-in-law's flocks, did he ever wonder, why am I here? You have to realize that he went from the grandson of Pharaoh to a shepherd. We might not look at it so much in today's day, but that was going from the high of high to the low of low. There wasn't much lower than a shepherd in those days. And can you imagine the grandson of Pharaoh, because he takes things into his own hands, now all of a sudden went from grandson of Pharaoh, adopted into the family, to now in a foreign land being a shepherd for his father-in-law's flocks. I wonder if while he was out there wandering around and watching these flocks, wondering, why am I here? Where am I going to go from here? And he's just out there watching the flocks till God calls him back to God's plan. See, God had a plan for Moses from the very beginning, but he had to take Moses because Moses took things into his own hands and went off track. God didn't forget about him and say, you know what, I'm done with you. No, he brought him back and said, you know, I have something much greater for you. Your purpose is not out here in the fields watching these flocks. I have a greater purpose for you. I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And we know the rest of the story there. He went and eventually leads the people out of Egypt. He never actually leads them into the promised land, but he does lead them out of Egypt. He does finally fulfill his purpose because God calls him back to it. The next person is Esther. If you look in the book of Esther, you'll see it starts out that the queen at that time makes the king very angry because she didn't come and do what the king wanted. So he decides by the leadership that he should find a new queen. So that's what he sets out to do. And Esther finds great favor with the king. But when Esther's people are being persecuted, and the second guy to the king is plotting to kill her uncle, she doesn't realize why she's in this great place. God planned ahead of time to put her there to stop this. But she struggles to realize that that's why God has placed her there in the first place. So we see then eventually she does step out. She does talk to the king. She follows through with God's plan. And she was able to save her people from persecution. But it took a while for her to finally give in and follow God's plan. The next person I want to look at is Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to preach to Nineveh. But because of his hatred that he has for the people of Nineveh, he decides, I'm going in the opposite direction. And I think of this as we think, he didn't want to see the people of Nineveh saved. That's why he didn't want to go and share God's word with them. That's why he was willing to go the other way. He tries to run from God. The storm comes up and he's sleeping in the ship and the other sailors want to know what's going on, and he knows what's going on. He knows that this is God that's after him. He still lets them cast lots to see who it is, and it falls on him, and he admits, yeah, it's me. I'm here. I'm trying to run away from God. Go ahead and cast me overboard. Now, the sailors were actually concerned about this. They didn't want to cast this man. What if he's actually innocent? We don't want to have any part of casting this guy overboard if he's innocent. But he says, no, go ahead and cast me overboard. You know, it could have been a whole lot easier for him to say, hey, you know what, sailors, I'm really supposed to go to Nineveh. How about we turn this ship and head me to Nineveh, and I bet this storm will stop. No, he was still too stubborn. He would have rather died in the sea of the storm than go to Nineveh. So God prepares a fish, a great fish, to swallow him and still take Jonah to where he's supposed to go. Even through his stubbornness, he goes, he finally, God prepares him and has him ready, and he goes and shares God's warning to the people of Nineveh. They end up repenting and changing of their ways. And this seems to anger Jonah even more, because he didn't really want to see those people saved. But God had the purpose of Jonah to do that. And even there, when he was on the boat, unknowingly, he was able to reach those sailors, because the sailors realized how powerful Jonah's Lord was. He controlled the seas. It said after that, they feared the Lord and made sacrifices to him. God was prepared. He had Jonah and sent him. And then God ends up sparing judgment on Nineveh. We can see how Jonah ends up fulfilling God's plan, even though he didn't want to. And the last person I want to look at is Miriam. It's Moses' sister. She stands watching to see what happens to her baby brother. Then when Pharaoh's daughter finds him, she goes and she offers help. She offers to find a woman to come and nurse this child. She was there watching. What she did was simple. It was just a matter of standing there and being ready when the opportunity came. But these are all people that God had a purpose for in their life. God has a purpose for each of us as well. Maybe God has placed you to be like Moses and lead God's people. Or maybe like Esther, you're called to speak for those that are being mistreated. Or maybe you're a Jonah and you're called to lead the lost to Christ, even if they are your enemy. Or maybe you're a Miriam to stand and watch and then offer to help. No matter what, whether you can place yourself in one of these four people, or God has called you for something completely different, no matter what, God has called you to do something much greater than go to school or go to work or go to church. God created you and you and you and you and every single one of you with a great purpose. You're not here by accident. God created you with a purpose. Colossians 2:10. No, how about Colossians 3:23 to 24? It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We are called to do all unto the Lord and not for men. That means when we go to work, we're called to be there for the Lord, not for the paycheck, not for our boss. We're called to be there for the Lord and to do His work in the workplace, or in the neighborhood, or in our family. And in closing, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." First thing, God created you. You are no accident. There is not one person that walks this earth that's here because of an accident. God planned for each and every one of us to be here. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knew us then, and He knows us now. We are not an accident. And the second part of that, God has a plan for you. He created you with a purpose that only you will do. It's not an accident that we are here this morning, or an accident of where we are maybe in the workplace. God has placed us in each one of those things for a purpose. And it's not just to get to that retirement and sit and prop our feet up. Even in our years of retirement, God still has a purpose for you. He's not done with you yet. So I thank you for your attention, and I pray that the words that I would share this morning, that they were encouraging to you, that you would go outside of these walls and realize that God has created you with a purpose. Sometimes it's hard for us to find that purpose and recognize it. It takes an amount of faith to walk each day looking for that purpose that God has created us for. I thank you, and I'll ask Gene if you would close us with a word of prayer.